Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to The Stable, a Stampede Blue production with your host, Joe Simeone.
Welcome back to The Stable. We got a lot to get to today. As you guys know, free agency has kicked off this past week. I got an interview with George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin. We got a lot to get to. Listen, if you want to catch a new episode of The Stable, you can tune in every single Friday at 5 o'clock. PM will be posted on Stampede Blue. Join us every single week. All right, guys, we got a lot to get to, so let's get on to it. Listen, first of all, the week begins. It's free agency. Legal tampering opens up, and players get snatched up right and left. Everybody's going. Everybody's getting mega deals. Landon Collins breaking the bank. Tyrann Mathieu hitting it big. Trey Flowers getting signed. Odell Beckham getting traded, which, by the way, what are the Giants even thinking? What are they doing? I don't understand it. I don't think that they have a plan. I don't think they know what they're doing. Then you got Le'Veon Bell going on a good deal. I'd say a team-friendly deal. For Le'Veon Bell, that's a team-friendly deal. I mean, they were talking about $17 to $18 million to sign Le'Veon Bell. He signed for like 14. I know, I'm sure there are incentives in there that he's going to hit and whatnot. And I'm not saying that we should have got him, but that was a very, very good deal. Let's actually talk a little bit about how the Colts kind of approach free agency, because I think a lot of people knew what to expect, but then still were kind of upset when we didn't go out and sign anybody. And to one aspect, I do understand it because, I mean, it's free agency. It's exciting. You want to sign players. You want to have somebody to be excited about. You want football news. You want somebody new and exciting to look forward to in the new season. So I do get it in that respect. But at the same time, like, Ballard has been very, very open with his plan, in what he plans to do, in how he's going to approach free agency. He says that he's going to build through the draft. He says he doesn't like free agency. He's not going to spend big on free agents. And so far, everything he said has really held true. He's stockpiled draft picks. He's gone after it in the draft. And free agency, he's been, well, relatively quiet. And that's not to say that he hasn't had impactful players in free agency. You know, you look at DeNico Autry. You look at Eric Ebron. Those were second, third week guys that were kind of under the radar signings that you were like, wait, who is this guy? Yeah, we think that this guy's going to be good. Yeah, he signed to like that little deal. Like, you sure this guy's? And what do you know? They're two of the best players on defense and offense on the team right now. And that is the type of signing that Ballard likes to make. He likes to wait and kind of feel out the market, figure out who's kind of being disrespected, and we're going to offer him a little prove it deal. If he likes it, he could take it. If not, meh. But Ballard has a plan. That's what's important. He's not like the Giants, who are just kind of selling off, you know, Odell Beckham, keeping Eli Manning, then signing an older Golden Tate to a massive contract, along with young Saquon, saying that they're not going to draft a quarterback in the draft. Like, you don't know what the Giants are doing. They have no goal. They have no plan. Ballard has a plan. We're going to kind of shy away from free agency. We're going to do it every year. So whether you like it or not, you better get used to it as a Colts fan, because this is what we're going to do. We're going to shy away from free agency. We're not going to go after the Le'Veon Bell. We're not going to go after the Landon Collins. We're not going to go after the Trey Flowers. it's nice to make a list, and I'm going to do it every year. You know, I'm going to be like, yeah, I really want the Landon Collins this year, or, oh, man, I can't wait for it to sign the Trey Flowers. And then it's not going to happen. We're not going to sign him. And I'm not going to be upset about that. I trust Ballard wholeheartedly. The only thing that upsets me is kind of there's no football news for us right now. And that's fine. That's a totally different story. So let's talk about that Ballard approach and kind of what it does for this team. Because it is. It's still kind of a team building aspect to it. It still, you know, has functionality to what Ballard wants to do by not going out and getting free agents. So first of all, it's going to build a lot of trust with your coaches, because Ballard is basically saying to them that I can go out and sign a Pierre Desir, I can go out and sign a Marcus Hunt, I can go out and sign a Danico Autry or a Devin Funchess, and I expect you guys to get the most out of them. Like, I see potential in them, I see talent, I see skill. Now it's up to you to go ahead and pull that talent out. Pull it out. Make me look smart, essentially, is what he says to the coaching staff. And I think that that's very important. You know, showing your trust in your coaches keeps them, you know, wanting to win. They want to win anyways, but you know what I'm trying to say. Two is trust in your players, too. He's not going out and trying to replace Clayton Gathers with Landon Collins. You know, he offers Landon Collins a deal that he thinks is fair to him. He offers Clayton Gathers the deal that he thinks is fair to him. He trusts in his own players. He wants his own players to come back. He likes people like Clayton. I'd like to see him back. I'm not sure what the deal is there yet, but he just kind of shows the respect and he trusts in himself to say, we don't need to go out and sign the five-star guy that everyone is talking about. We can replace him with someone else who's serviceable and might actually surprise you and become a five-star player in our system under our coaches and with our talent. So I'm very, very interested to see how this, you know, approach works out. And number three to his approach, of course, is building a winning culture. And I know what you might be thinking. That's a little bit weird to say. You know, how does not going out and get free agents build a winning culture? Well, let's look at the Patriots here for a second, because I think that they kind of build the same way that we do, and I think that they're a good example of what Ballard is really trying to do. You don't see Bill Belichick go out and sign Landon Collins. I know I keep bringing him up, but like, his monster deal was crazy to me. Or sign Trey Flowers. Like, he didn't bring back Trey Flowers on some monster deal because he knows he can replace Trey Flowers, and I respect that because I don't think that Trey Flowers is the player that Detroit thinks. I don't think he was worth that deal. But what I'm trying to get at is that Bill Belichick, he wants guys who want to win. Why do people go to the Patriots? They don't go for the money. You don't hear a free agent say, I'm going to go to the Patriots to go break the bank and become the highest paid player at my position. It doesn't happen. What they do say, however, is I want to win. I'm going to New England because I want a team that's in the playoffs, has a chance at the Super Bowl, and is perennial favorites. What Ballard wants for the Colts is that type of respect. And you can kind of see it in Devin Funchess now. The Colts are not yet there. They need to get into the playoffs consistently. They need to make a Super Bowl appearance to get that type of respect. But that's the type of respect and culture that Ballard wants to build. He doesn't want to go out and break the bank constantly on players. He wants players to come and take a discount to come win a championship with the Colts. And I love that approach. I think that that is great for the locker room, and I think it's great for free agents. I think that if they can actually view the Colts that way, like Devin Funchess did, the Colts are going to get players that actually want to compete, players that want to win, not players that are going to get that big deal and then kind of say, yeah, I don't really need to, you know, try my hardest. No. He wants the prove-it guy, the guy who's going to come in there and say, I need to win with you guys. I need to show out so that I can get a big contract. It might not be with you guys, but I need a big contract, and I would like to come to Indianapolis to get a ring on my finger and to prove that I am the person that I think that I am. And you could see that with the Patriots. You know, you look at Nate Solder, a guy who was a fantastic left tackle. Went to the Giants, had a disappointing year, but he got a monster contract because of his time with the Patriots, because he was a winner, because he had rings, because he played with Bill Belichick. Those type of things matter. And to us, I think that's what Ballard wants us to be. He wants the Colts to be like, hey, you know, we'll pay Devin Funchess now a ton of money because you played with the Colts, you won a ring with them last year, and you were in Frank Reich's system and it worked. So we think you can work with us. Because this is, let's face it, it's a copycat league. People see you win. They want to replicate that. They think they can do it with the players that won. I don't know if that works. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, you look at the Eagles and the Rams. They went out and spent a ton. And it worked for both of them. But who's consistently there every single year? It's the New England Patriots. So I think the way that Ballard is building right now is fantastic. I think that it is really the way to do things. And I think all of us just kind of needed to take a breath and relax and say, you know, this is the way that we're doing free agency. This is how it's going to be every single year. And it's not a bad thing. It's definitely not a bad thing. This is a proven way to work. The Colts did, however, go out and make some moves. That's not to say that the Colts didn't make any moves in free agency. I think we're just more quiet than people really expected for a team with $100 million in cap space. So let's talk about those moves that we did end up making, because I think that we made some great signings. We brought back Chester Rogers, who I think is fantastic, punt returner, or kick returner, rather. He has some issues, you know, when the ball's within the 10. He frustrates us at times, I would say, as a fan base. But all in all, Chester Rogers is not a bad player. Mathias Farley, I'm more interested in coming back. I love Mathias Farley. Great locker room presence. Everybody seems to love him. Funny guy. And when he's on the field, he's an impact player. He makes plays, whether it's stripping the ball, making an interception. It doesn't matter. Mathias Farley is there to do something. So I think bringing him back is great. And I think it kind of is part of the reason why we haven't jumped on a safety and why we haven't jumped even on Clayton Gathers yet. Who, by the way, I would love to see back. I really, really want Clayton back. Now that we didn't get Landon Collins, I'm all aboard the Clayton Gathers train. We know his injury history. We know how to use him. I think it's so important for us to bring him back. But we'll get more into that with George a little bit later. Glowinski, I love. I mean, there's not enough you could say about him. He really, you know, he really showed out last year. I think he's going to have a great chance to excel with us again this year. Adam Vinatieri, of course, was a little bit earlier in the year, but we got him back. A lot of these guys, too, Chris Milton, Pierre Desir, Margus Hunt, all of them, Glowinski, Mathias Farley, an important part to them coming back on good deals and team-friendly deals is the locker room that Chris Ballard and Frank Reich have built for this team. You can see it on social media. You can see, like, we get an inside look into the locker room a lot more now than we used to because of how active everybody is on social media. And you can see it in the way that they interact with each other. You know, Pierre Desir gets re-signed, which, by the way, great for him. Great deal. Lockdown corner, we really needed him back. But then, you know, you watch the way the rest of the team kind of reacts to him coming back. Everyone tweeting him like, oh, congratulations. Yeah, can't wait to have you back, brother. Like, love you so much. You know, I'm so glad that you're back. That's what Chris Ballard and Frank Reich really, really wanted to build for this team. They wanted guys like that who want to come back, who want to play for this team, who want to win with this team, who want to come back into this locker room atmosphere that we have built and just enjoy the time that they have in the league with their brothers. And it's not a bad thing. You know, I understand the other players who want to go out and get paid. I get it. You want to go make your money? Go make your money. But we want the Pierre Desirs of the league. We want the Devin Funchesses of the league. We want the guys who want to come in, play for a good team, and win. Guys who want to come back and win is what we want. And I think that Ballard has shown that in the last three, you know, in his last two or three free agencies, free agent classes, he has brought in guys that want to win and prove it. And it shows on the field, man. We have a grit to us, which is, I didn't want to use that word because obviously that brings back the Chuck Pagano days, but we do. This team has a grit to it. It has this this fight, this passion, this need to win, this brotherhood too. And I think that that is fantastic. So let's talk about the newest addition to this brotherhood and to this team and to this passion that we have. Devin Funchess. I think that this was a very, very underrated signing. I think people were a little bit confused because the way his contract was announced was $13 million over a year. It's not actually $13 million over a year. It's actually $10 million, $3 million in incentives. I think $7 million is guaranteed. It's actually a very, very good deal. So Devin Funchess obviously didn't live up to his billing with Carolina. They thought he was going to be great after his season 2 years ago. Wasn't so great last year. Now he gets to work with Andrew Luck. I think part of Cam Newton's issue is his accuracy. I think he just kind of wings the ball every time, like it's a bullet every pass. Andrew Luck's got that finesse, that touch. I think Devin Funchess's drops are not going to be as prevalent. I think he's going to kind of have an Eric Ebron type of turnaround. I'm very, very excited for this guy. I mean, we get that big body wide receiver that we needed badly. And on top of that, I think Devin Funchess didn't excel as much because he was the number one, because all the pressure was on him to succeed. Now he comes over to the Colts where we have T.Y. Hilton. Funchess's like goal on this team right now is to open up the field for guys like T.Y. I think this signing is great, and the Colts are not done. We got Jay Ajayi coming into the building later this week. I'm not too sure how I feel about that yet. I loved Jay Ajayi on the Dolphins. I thought he underperformed with the Eagles, but was still very, very solid and was a key to them making their pushes to the Super Bowl. I am definitely a fan of Jay Ajayi. He's young. A little bit of an injury history, obviously, now. But the thing is, I really like our running back group that we have right now. I love Marlon Mack. I think he's a fantastic runner. I think he's underrated. I think when we get a full year out of him, when he runs for 1,100, 1,200 yards and has 10, 12 touchdowns, maybe even 13, people are going to go, holy crap, where did this guy come from? Who's Marlon Mack? I'm telling you, Marlon Mack is going to be a fantastic running back if we give him the backfield to do his thing. I don't want any time taken away from Nyheim Hines as well. Hines is low-key a really, really hard, tough runner. You watch him run, and this kid puts his shoulder down. He's not getting tackled on the first attempt. You can try, but he breaks through so many tackles. I really like what we have in the backfield. I don't think we need Jay Ajayi, but it's not somebody that I would be mad at us signing. You know, he gives us that power back and that speed back kind of tandem and duo, kind of plays the role that that Robert Turbin did. I don't know. I like Jay Ajayi. I think it'll be very, very interesting to see what goes on there with him. I'd be interested to see if we sign him. Listen, the Colts are by no means done. Chris Ballard is going to spend now the rest of this free agency's period kind of waiting for the second wave now. He's waiting for this first week to end, second wave to start, where teams aren't jumping as much, contracts aren't as high, and we can still get those top-notch players just on much, much, much more team-friendly deals. So that, I think, is very, very important to keep your eye on, because it's not like Chris Ballard just isn't, he's just not going to spend at all. We have a ton of money. We're going to spend it. Just pay attention to some of these more underrated signings, like maybe a Trey Boston. I still say keep your eyes on Clayton Gathers. I don't know why people are kind of giving up on him and throwing out all these safety names. If there's one guy I want back, it is Clayton Gathers. He's a leader. He's, we know he's got an injury history, but he's very talented, and at least we know his injury history. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this free agency kind of works out and where it goes at the end of this. I'm excited to see what Ballard does, and I'm excited, for the next couple weeks leading up to this draft to see if he takes anybody at different positions in need. Is that going to impact on who I think that we're going to get in the first round or what, what not? So I'm real excited moving forward. I hope that you guys are too. And let's get into, I got a great interview with George Bremer. So first, we're going to take a little break from our sponsors. When we get back from our sponsors, I'll hit you with that George Bremer interview. All right, guys, I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
Hello, I'm Nilay Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Stable, a Stampede Blue production.
All right, guys, I'm here with George Bremer. He's the sports editor at the Herald Bulletin, and we're going to talk a little bit about free agency and kind of everything that's going on right now. So to get things started, free agency, you know, as we both know, the legal tampering opens up, and there's always these a bunch of huge signings that come out, some big trades that have been going on this past week. And the Colts are generally, well, now with Ballard, we're generally a little bit quieter. And I think that some people, that kind of rubs them the wrong way. But that fits Ballard's MO and what he's kind of been telling us all along. We had a lot of money going into free agency this year. Did it surprise you how quiet the Colts were to start off?
No, you know, because of last year. I mean, I think the one thing about Chris Ballard, and you can feel however you want to about the approach, and that's fair. You know, some people like it, some people don't. But the fact of the matter is he's been very upfront about this. And he showed last year that what he tells us in January and February is what he does in March and April. So he came out and he said they're going to be aggressive in as far as doing their homework and making offers and, you know, identifying guys. But they weren't going to get into a bidding war, and I think that's what you've seen. We know that there were several guys, Landon Collins, Preston Smith come to mind, that they were in on, but once the market gets to a certain point, he's going to step away and try to find that answer in a different spot. So I think he's done pretty much exactly what he did a year ago and what he's probably can be expected to do for as long as he's in charge here in Indy.
And in your opinion, is that the right way to kind of go about things right now?
It's the way Bill Polian did it, and it seemed to work pretty well for him. So, you know, I think the most important thing is that you have a plan and that you stick to that plan. I don't know if there's any one right way. I mean, the Rams have gone out and spent and obviously taken their team to another level by doing that. Not so much this year as they did a year ago, but you can look at that Super Bowl run, and a lot of that was due to guys that they brought in last year on big money deals. So I think it can work both ways. But I think where you run into trouble is when you don't really have any kind of clear path and you kind of bounce around, or you let sort of what's going on around you or what's going on in the rest of the league change your philosophy and change the way you go about things. And you look at the Giants right now, and that's what I mean. Last year, they kind of sat on what they had and said, we're going for it. you know, we can still win with this group. They pass up a quarterback. They draft Saquon Barkley. It's win now. And now this year you're trading away Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon. And you look at that and you say, what's the plan? To me, that's where the problem comes in. Ballard has a plan. It'll work or it won't work, but at least you can see the path he's going down.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you don't want to be a team in despair, kind of like the Giants, where they kind of look desperate right now to try and figure out what they're doing. And then, like you said, the Rams are a team that kind of spent a lot and had success. But then if you look at like a team like the Patriots, you know, they never really spend a lot in free agency, and yet they're very successful. So I totally agree with you. I think that people just need to take a breath. And I get it, too, because on one hand, I like what Ballard's doing. I like that he's got a plan, and I understand that. And even going into free agency, I wasn't expecting us to spend a lot. But then there's also the side of, I just kind of want football news, man. That's all I wanted. It wasn't even about like not trusting Ballard. It's like, I just need something to get excited about. But the Colts did make some moves, so let's talk about that. So Devin Funchess coming over from the Panthers, there seems to be a pretty 50-50 split on him. Some people really like the signing. Other people think we spent too much on him. What's your feeling around Funchess?
It feels an awful lot like the Eric Ebron deal last year. You know, you got a guy who was a relatively high draft pick, a lot of expectations for him at his previous stop, didn't fulfill all of that potential there, and now he's coming in, and the Colts hope that they can unlock, you know, what would that talent that made him the 41st overall pick, you know, when he was coming out of Michigan. So I like it from the standpoint of the big body, the physical receiver. They've been trying to do that going back to Ryan Grigson's days here. I mean, really pretty much since T.Y. Hilton was drafted and Reggie Wayne retired, they've been looking for a big body kind of boundary receiver that they can, you know, use in the red zone and complement what T.Y. Hilton brings to this team. Ebron brought them some of that last year, obviously. I think they want to get some of the same production from Funchess, and now it's a matter of, can he be consistent? You know, can he clean up some of the drops that he's had? And this is where Ballard is trusting this coaching staff. He believes that Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni can find a way to maximize guys like this. And again, you know, I go back to him being a man of his word. He kind of said this early in the offseason. He wasn't necessarily going to go and get the bluest of blue chip talent at receiver, because he thought this is a group with the quarterback he's got, the coaching staff that he's got, that they can maybe get a little more out of some guys that maybe other teams won't. We'll see. It's going to be a nice test to that. But I think it's, you know, ultimately it's low risk. Yeah, it's $13 million if he hits all of his incentives. It's just a one-year deal. So if things don't work out, you just walk away from it and no harm done. And if they do work out, then, you know, obviously Funchess is motivated to get a big payday out of this. He just got off the phone with the media here about an hour ago. He's also motivated to get a ring. You know, he really likes what's going on here in Indy. And from the Colts standpoint, I think they would be in a good spot if they had to sit down and figure out how they could sign him long-term after this year. I think that would be a win in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what Ballard's been doing with kind of these one-year contracts, is he wants players to come in and really prove their worth. And I think a lot of the players that he is signing, they're not coming in. Like, you look at the Lakers with their one-year deals on guys, and they just kind of don't buy into the program there. I think that the guys that Ballard is giving the one-year deals to are the ones that actually want to come in and prove it. And I think our, like you said, our coaches are going to have a lot to do with that, but also the locker room has a lot to do with that. And I think our locker room has helped us even bring back some guys. For example, Pierre Desir has re-signed with the Colts. And he, you know, you could just see the reaction out of everybody from the Colts locker room basically saying how glad they are to have him back. What do you think this locker room does for some of these free agents?
Oh, there's no doubt. That played a huge role in Desir coming back. It played a huge role in Adam Vinatieri wanting to play another year. It played a huge role in getting Mark Lewinsky back. You know, these guys that have been in here and been a part of this, they don't want to leave. And I thought the most telling thing about the locker room, just to go on a tangent here for a second, I'll get back to the question, Howard Mudd, when we had availability with him last month, he came in, and one of the first things that he said was he's heard so much about this locker room and the little bit of experience that he's had with it. Obviously, not all the players are in the building right now. It's remarkable to him. And you're talking about a guy that was here when this team was expected to go to Super Bowls every year, you know, the glory days of this franchise. So for him to come in and say, the atmosphere in this locker room, the environment in this locker room stands out. That to me said a lot. And you see it in free agency. You see it with the kind of guys that they're going after. But I think that also goes back to the one-year deals. In some respect, Ballard's counting on, hey, if Devin Funchess, for instance, comes in here and he does succeed and he has an opportunity to be a part of this team, then maybe he's going to be more motivated to stay the way some of these other guys have been that we've seen who've come in. You know, it's almost a get them in the door first kind of mentality, and then if it works out, the rest will kind of take care of itself.
Do you think free agents this year are kind of looking at the Colts like Devin Funchess came in and said he wants to come in and put them over the top and get a ring? Do you think a lot of the other free agents are kind of looking at Indy now as more of a landing spot than they may have last year when there were some questions about the team?
I think they're probably higher on people's radar. You know, last year they were 4-12. Their head coach was the second choice. Absolutely everybody was aware of that because of the way things played out there. And their quarterback was injured, and no one knew for sure when he was going to play again or what he would look like when he did. So I think definitely there's a much different view and a much more improved view of this franchise. But I think one of the things to remember in free agency, too, is that every guy's kind of got their own mindset and their own goals. And a lot of it depends on their age, obviously, what they've already done in their career. But you look at a guy like Landon Collins and a guy like Devin Funchess, they obviously had totally different aims this year. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that Collins is, you know, he had a more robust market. And so he went to the highest bidder. And that's fine, too. You know, I can't blame in this game. You can't blame anybody who's going to go take a record-breaking deal like he got from Washington. But obviously his primary concern wasn't going to the best team that he could possibly go to, or he wouldn't have wound up with the Redskins. When you look at Funchess, he had probably fewer options, but I have heard from several sources that he had at least one team that had more years and more total money on their offer than what he got here in Indianapolis. So you know, he made a decision, sort of what you're talking about, to come here because of the culture, to come here because of what he sees in the future. And I think those are the guys that Ballard's going to land, because he's not going to go out there and set the market. He's not going to go out there and win a bidding war. He's going to get the guys who look at what's here and say, I want to be a part of that.
Do you think that Ballard, though, will set the market when it's talked about almost bringing in our own guys? Because we are going to have some guys that are going to be coming up for contracts that I think Ballard is going to want to break the bank for.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting to see what happens now. You saw the way he dealt with this year, and he was a very important guy, letting him kind of go and test the market, and then giving him, I thought, was a really fair deal for both sides. It's going to be between $7 and $8 million, depending on how many incentives that he earns, but you know, maybe a little over $8 million if he gets everything, every dollar out of the contract. But it ends up being a deal that gives this year the reward that he earned for the way that he played last year, but also gives the team a fair market price. And so, but he's, you know, he's going to be a different case than say Ryan Kelly, who I think is going to be really the first test of this, because he's kind of the first of the young guys who's going to come open. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. That center market seems to be exploding right now, the offensive line market in general.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see if Ballard's willing to go and kind of set the bar a little bit to keep him here before it all starts, or whether he'll, you know, take a similar approach to what he did with this year and sort of throw a number out there. And then if that's not good enough, you know, see where the market goes and decide if they can bring him back at that point. And given his history, I think that's going to happen more often than not. But Kelly, to me, will be a real interesting case study here, because obviously he's a hugely important component at a hugely important division and or position, and we really haven't seen that yet. You know, it's been good players, but not critical players that have come up yet under Ballard's term.
Sure. Getting back to it, because there are, you know, free agency is by no means over, and the Colts are still going to be going after guys. One specifically that we've already heard about coming in for a visit is Jay Ajayi. What do you think about this whole situation, bringing him into what I think is already a really good running back group?
Yeah, I think you can see that Ballard's been trying to push that group. They kept Jonathan Williams around all year, and he was on the 53-man roster for at least the last half of the season. And a lot of us were sort of scratching our heads, like, you know, what exactly is going on here? You got four running backs up on the main roster. One of them's not playing. I don't think Williams was even active on a game day. But yeah. Ballard went out of his way at that postseason press conference to say, hey, he's doing everything right. He's a guy we really like. And if you look at Williams in the style that he has, the bigger back, physical guy, between the tackles runner, I think that's what they were trying to get with Wilkins, but he obviously doesn't have that stature. He plays that way at times, but he's not physically a big guy. They tried to do it with, I think, Matt Jones, you know, in 2017. They brought in that style of runner, and I think that Ajayi's kind of next to try to kind of fill that role. It seems like they want to kind of have that, you know, it's cliche, but they kind of want to have that thunder and lightning pairing. They know they've got the home run hitter, the speed guy, and Marlon Mack, and I think they want the battering ram now. You saw last year, one of the big things Reich and Sirianni want to be able to do is have an offense that plays differently every week.
Sure.
And attacks the opponent where they're weakest. And I feel like the one thing they're missing, now that if Funchess is the boundary guy that they hope that he can be, the one thing that they're missing in that scenario is that sort of battering ram running back, you know, who can go and take the air out of the balls if that's what they need to do. And obviously, Ajayi is a guy that Reich's familiar with from their time together in Philadelphia. But he's also a guy that offensive line coach Chris Strasser is familiar with going back to Boise State. So it's one of those things that it kind of makes sense, I guess, the connections he's got on the coaching staff and the style of play that he has.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what he brings to the team and if they even sign him after he comes in and visits. Last question for you, two-part question. One is, you know, what other free agents do you see the Colts kind of looking at or going after? And Clayton Gathers is a guy that, well, we need a safety, and we haven't heard anything on that front. Have you heard anything about Gathers?
Yeah, nothing since the combine when we were talking with Ballard, and he said that Gathers was – that they were in touch with his people and he was going to go and look at the market. That one to me has been interesting because obviously he's got the injury history and yes. Some of that's pretty serious, you know, with his neck. And he's come back and he's played well at times, but he obviously he's needed a lot of maintenance as well during the year. So I'm interested to see what his outside offers will be. He seems like a guy to me who will have more value to Indianapolis than he will maybe anywhere else, just because the Colts are so familiar with him, know how to use him, know his complete medical history, know what's going on, you know, how to handle that. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he's got some lines in the water or the deal would be done already.
Right.
I think that one is going to be very intriguing to see how it plays out. As far as other free agents go, the only other name that I've heard connected was Justin Houston. I heard that Ballard had been in talk with his agent. I also heard that the Patriots are interested there, and I haven't heard anything else out of that market at all. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. There's obvious ties there with Ballard's time in Kansas City. And I think from a Colts standpoint, just total speculation on my part, I think they look at Houston as kind of a role with the Dwight Freeney had with the Chargers and the Falcons and the Cardinals towards the end of his career, where you bring in a guy who – you know, opposing offenses are going to have to account for, and you use him sparingly and you use him at his best, you know, make him more or less a third down specialist, keep his legs fresh and get the most out of him that way. But I don't know if that's sort of what's in Houston's mind. So be interesting to see how that market plays out as well.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to watch. All right. Thank you so much, George. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
No problem. Anytime.
I hope you guys enjoyed. That was George Bremer, the Herald Bulletin. If you guys want to catch a new episode, make sure you tune in to Stampede Blue every single Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I appreciate you all tuning in and cannot wait for the next episode. I'll see you guys later.